You'll find our scripture reading this morning in the prophecy of Zephaniah, please, on chapter 3. Zephaniah, chapter 3, and we are reading from verse number 14. And while you're finding the place, let me thank Morris for the invitation to be with you this morning. Thank you in the Lord's name for having me. And we pray indeed that the Lord will speak to each and every heart through the ministry of his own precious word. God grant that precious handful and on purpose. May the Lord speak in the stillness while we wait upon him. Thank you, Colin, for leading the meeting. And the Lord bless you richly indeed. Zephaniah chapter 3, please. Verse number 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will sing over thee with singing. And may the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his own inspired word for his name's sake. A moment's prayer. Dear Lord and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmities, we draw nigh to thee in the full assurance of faith, thanking thee that thou art the God that is in our midst. For our Saviour has promised that where the two and three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of his redeemed people. So speak, Lord, in the stillness, while we wait on thee, and prepare our hearts to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. The mighty God in the midst of thee. And in these days of COVID-19, in these days of confusion, distraction, and fear on every hand, I want you to know this morning that the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, and he will not allow thee to be moved, but he will come and he will truly bless his people with the blessing of God that maketh rich, on which no sorrow is added thereto. So at the commencement of this message this morning, I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you with the words of our blessed Savior himself when he said to his own dear people, Have faith in God. Have faith in your God this morning for the simple reason that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Have you got problems and difficulties this morning? Are you going through some kind of a valley and you seem to be alone? Well, let me assure you that our God, the great I Am, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's the Lord of the valleys. And He will be with you each step of the way. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say at all times, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I will not fear COVID-19. I will not fear any of the problems and perplexities of life, as long as I have this assurance that our God, my Savior and my Lord, He is in the midst. What a world we live in. A world of confusion. And somehow, even the believers seem to have lost their way. We are living in a terrible world when our nation seems to be turning away from God as quick as time can take them. And it seems that so many are willing to go away, to deny even the reality and the existence of God. Today there are so many associations, and they are saying that the Bible is no longer relevant to this day and age. We have long since passed and gone by the teachings of the Word of God. And now they want the Bible, the Word of the Living God, to be banned as hate literature. That's the age that you and I, dear child of God, were living in. It's an age of confusion. It's an age when men are putting their faith in their own abilities. But they will come to a place where they will see that the arm of flesh will fail them. They dare not trust their own. Isn't it an age of compromise? What an age that you and I are living in. We are compromising the great teachings of God's Word. Jude exhorts us to contend earnestly for the faith that once for all was delivered unto the saints. But somehow, we are no longer allowed to preach the great doctrines and the teachings of God's Word, lest we give offense. And what do? We water down the Word of the Living God. No wonder there's so little teaching in our midst today. There's confusion in the nation. There's compromise on every hand concerning the teachings of God's Word. And there's complacency in the church itself. Surely we're in the Laodicean age. We think that we are rich and we have need of nothing. And all the time we are spiritually poor. We're living in poverty, spiritual poverty. And our blessed Lord, who is in the midst, He's drawing nigh and He's saying, come to me, and I will anoint thine eyes with thy salve that thou mayest see, and I'll bless thee that thou mightest be rich. And oh, He wants to draw near, He wants to encourage us, He wants to comfort us in these times and in these days. But as we come back to Zephaniah, his age was no different than ours. Judgment is the central theme of Zephaniah's prophecy. His prophecies relate to judgment on Judah and on the Gentile nations and on Jerusalem. But Zephaniah did not only prophesy of judgment, for while our God hates sin, because He is holy and just, remember this, that He loves sinners, but He especially loves His covenant people and those who belong to Him through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And for this reason, we see Zephaniah prophesying in chapter 3 of a great time of future blessing that will yet come upon this earth. And in Zephaniah 3 and verse 17, we see the character, the dignity, and the resources of those that would do justly and would love mercy and walk humbly with their God day by day. Beloved, we live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, but there are resources available to the children of God that we might walk for the glory of our God and exalt his name in the midst. Zephaniah goes on to talk about a personal relationship with God. For he speaks of the Lord thy God. And every true Christian has been brought into a personal relationship with God so that he can say from the deep depths of his heart and with absolute assurance in his soul that he is my God. And this glorious truth, it's emphasized through the Scriptures. All the great saints of God in past ages have talked about God as being my God. The psalmist could say, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God." The psalmist had confidence in his God because he had a personal relationship with his God. Nehemiah, the governor in Judea, when he was building the walls of Jerusalem against much opposition, he said, "Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." Here's a man in the midst of trouble. He's crying to his God, and he's calling him my God, and bless us for good. The psalmist knew his God. He had faith and confidence in his God. And even Daniel, when he's going down into the den of lions, he says, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth." And so you can see the saints in past ages, may they knew their God. And God came in, and God really blessed them. The Apostle Paul could say, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the world. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Can you look up into the face of God just now and say, "He's my God. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Thou art my God and the rock of my salvation. Thou art my God. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee." Beloved, take time just now to set your affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the power of God in your life. Because he draws nigh. And he says, "I will never leave thee. I will never, ever forsake thee." We have a personal relationship with our God. The moment that you put your faith and trust in Christ, you became a child of God through faith in the Savior. And God hath brought us into a very personal and close relationship with himself. You know, I love the book, the little book called The Song of Solomon. And we read that he hath brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. He's my God. He hath brought me to his banqueting house. His banner over me is love. And he assures me, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Here's this personal relationship, and it belongs to the children of God. Look, fear not, for I am with thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. So the prophet speaks of a personal relationship with God. And secondly, he goes on to speak about a present reality for the Christian. He speaks of the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. And this is the distinctive and exclusive experience of the Christian, that the Lord dwells within every Christian. In Old Testament times, the Lord was with his people. But now in this age of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ is in his people. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the life that I now live in the faith and in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Are you really rejoicing in and enjoying your present salvation? Do you really understand and believe that Christ is dwelling within you of a truth? It's Christ in you. This is a wonderful, this is a tremendous truth. It's Christ in you. That's our hope of eternal glory. So the prophet is speaking of a personal relationship with God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And then he speaks of a present reality for the Christian. The Lord is in the midst of thee. He's with us each step of the way. And thirdly, he speaks of a powerful resource for effective Christian living. Zephaniah states, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Christian is indwelt by a mighty God. What is our conception of the God to whom we belong and who dwells within us? Joshua had a very compelling and wonderful experience of his God. And he came to an understanding of the powerfulness of his God. When God met with Joshua and spake to Joshua, when God had delivered up all his enemies into his hand, and as he's standing before God in the presence of all the people, he said to the sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down all the day. And there was no day like that before it or after that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. The Lord was hearkening unto the voice of a man. This is what the prophet is trying to get over to us, because we have a personal relationship with God. And because it's a present reality for the Christian, then we have this powerful resource for effective living within our very grasp. Joshua proved this in a time of need when the enemies were surrounding. He looked to God. His faith was in God. His trust was in God. And he asked God to do a mighty thing. And God moved his hand at the voice of a man. And the scriptures tell us that never before did God move in such a way at the prayer of a man as he did at that time. Can God move the same way in our age, in our day, in our time of need? When the enemy comes in like a flood, can the people of God not fall to their knees and lift their voice heavenward and cry unto God for deliverance, for salvation, and to see the mighty hand of God at work in these days, and that God might send a mighty revival in our times? As I read through the Song of Solomon, I came across a wonderful verse, and I almost preached on it this morning. But somehow or other, I was led to that text in Zephaniah, because I felt that there were some dear Christians in this meeting, and they were in a valley, and they were facing a time of trouble. And God would draw an eye and say, have faith in God. He's the God of your valley. But you know, the bride in the Song of Solomon discovered a wonderful thing. He's speaking, and it's the Lord that's speaking to his people. Remember this now, that God is in the midst of thee. He draws nigh. He speaks to our hearts. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And as the bridegroom talks to his Shulam, turns to his Shulamite bride, he says, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret of the stirs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. And that's our beloved. And he's here this morning. And he's speaking to each heart. And he's saying, O my dove, let me hear thy voice. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did the Lord hear your voice? Did he see your face? Because remember this, dear child of God, to the beloved, your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely, because he loves you with an everlasting love. You're his. You're redeemed by precious blood. You belong to him, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. But have you learned the secret of the stirs? By the secret of the stairs, it's a very special place. And I hope and pray to God that you in your life have a very special place to go to at times to meet with the Lord alone. And when you learn the secret of the stairs, you'll discover it's a sanctified place. It's a separated place. There's just you and the Lord together. And your communion, you're communicating one with the other. And you're praying to him. And your voice is a delight. But I want you to know that this secret stairway, it leads upward to heaven and to home. Friend, it's a place of ascent where you can ascend the stairway, when you can draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh unto you. It's a very special place. It's a separated and a sanctified place. Friends, let me say it's a stairway that's leading up to the very throne of grace and the very throne of God. And let me say it's a very satisfying place, for there you meet with the Savior. And he draws near to you. He reveals his love. He reveals his heart. And he says, I delight to hear thy voice. Your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely. Friend, when was the last time you got alone with the Lord in that secret place, that quiet place? When was it you got alone with the Lord? And as you walked and you talked with him, you felt you were too high. You went into the closet. You went into your little study, and you sat down in his presence. And he's drawn near to your heart, and he's speaking to your soul in accents sweet and low. And you still feel you're too high. And you throw yourself prostrate on the floor at his feet. And just at that moment, his presence is so real. He draws nigh, and your soul is filled with a very conscious sense of his presence. And it seems that heaven comes down your soul to greet, and the glory crowns the mercy seat. And you feel his presence so near that you feel your soul would burst. And you have to cry, Lord, stay your hand, stay your hand. I can take no more. When was the last time you had moments like that? All too rare. But my dear friends, we have a very personal relationship with God. And here's a very present reality. God assures us that he's in the midst. And here's a powerful resource for effective Christian living. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And all we have to do is draw aside with him alone to that very special place, the secret place of the stairs. Oh, learn the secret of the stairs, the place of ascent that takes you into his presence. It will become special. It's a sanctified place, it's a spirit, it's a stairway, and it's a satisfying place, for you will be satisfied with the things that he teaches you. And he fills your heart. And you'll be able to sing with the hymn writer, here from the world we turn, Jesus to seek. Here may his loving voice tenderly speak. While at his feet we bend, oh, let thy love descend. Lord Jesus, it is thee we seek. And the God who indwells the Christian, he's all-powerful. He's the everlasting God. And in conclusion, notice what he does for the Christian in our text. Oh, the wonderful thing that he does for you and for me as his redeemed people. He comes and he says, I have redeemed thee. He says he will save. Do you see that? And he saves us so by the virtue of the cross. Thank God. On Calvary's cross, God expressed his love toward us in that he gave Christ to die for us. And it's through the cross that he brings us savingly to himself. He will save. He redeems us. And then it goes on to say, he will rejoice over thee. And he rejoices over thee with joy. Can you imagine that? Sometimes when I go for a walk alone, and I'm walking and I'm talking with the Lord, I say, Lord, how could you love a thing like me? Lord, I'm only a sinner. I'm nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. And the thing that touches my heart is this, that not only does he redeem us, but he rejoices over us with joy. Why? Because we've been to Calvary for the cleansing power, and we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are no longer clothed in the robes of self-righteousness, but we are clothed in the righteousness which is ours through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the very righteousness of God itself. And upon that basis, he rejoices over us with joy. And when do you see this, friend? And if this doesn't touch your heart, I don't know what will. And he will rest in his love. And this speaks of the intimacy of fellowship God has with his own. He redeems us. He rejoices over us. And he rests in his love. No longer is there enmity between us. He can rest in his love. The great love wherewith he loved us is through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And where Christ rests, God rests. And he rests in his love for you and me. Dear child of God, hush. Be every murmur dumb. It is only till he come. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's coming very soon. But here's a thing that really astounds me. Read your text. Take it home with you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. But here's the thought. He will joy over thee with singing. Have you ever seen that before? Our God can sing. Can you know? Our Lord Jesus Christ, before he went out to the cross, sang that great Psalm 118 as he went out to the cross. Boy, could he sing. And when he stands in the midst of the church, his redeemed church, he will sing, leading the praises of the church to his God. And when all the redeemed of the Lord are gathered on the glory shore, and we begin to sing that new song of Moses and the Lamb, It will be unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. But then something wonderful will happen. As we sing unto our God, then we will hear the voice of God, the great Creator God, the great Redeemer God, the great Savior God, singing over his redeemed people with rejoicing. Oh, can you grasp it? When heaven resounds with singing. Take all the great singers of the world. Let them stand aside as the God of the universe sings and rejoices over his redeemed people. What a moment it will be when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. Beloved, it will be worth it all. Give him your all and serve him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless your word to all our hearts. We pray indeed that we will leave this place knowing that God, who is mighty, is in the midst of us. And we need not fear, but help us just to commit our way unto him and trust also in him, and he will do us good. We thank thee for this time together. Bless your word. Separate us, we pray, in thy fear and with thy blessing, and be with those that remain to remember thee in thine own appointed way. May our meditation of Christ be sweet indeed, for his name's sake. Amen.